Going over to Genesis chapter 27, and it truly, I thank God, I believe we are recognizing more and more what a watershed is bursting forth. He's letting us know, and he wants us to know, his very heart, his desire. It's us, and we thank God for this journey, and I thank God specifically for this journey of purpose, and thanking the Lord to understand what that purpose is nothing about here. It's all about the ruling and reigning jointly together with Jesus Christ, to be glorified together with him. And it all comes from this feasting that God has graced us with, and this precious word and the whole counsel of God. The message that there is not withheld a thing, but again, the fullness of the gospel. All for that purpose, divinely eating at that golden table of shewbread, that we would be set and placed for all to see. And we thank God for this meaning to us. And we're seeing that this mystery, praise God, of purpose is revealed, I will have to say, everywhere in the Word of God, because it's the bridal message. That's exactly what it is. It's the desire, this perfect desire of his all and complete and perfect will. And tonight, we're going to venture into the life of Jacob. And we're going to pick it up at the moment that Jacob has just, as they say, stolen the birthright, okay? And we're going to pick it up right where Esau comes to his dad, Isaac, and is expecting that blessing, but Esau has just found out it's not there, and it wasn't for him. And Esau is going to be told what is. So let's pick this up in Genesis 27. We'll read from verse 35. And this is Isaac telling him. And he said, "Thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing." And he said, "Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing." And he said, "Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me?" This is Esau asking his dad. And here it goes. And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, "Behold, I have made him thy Lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants. And with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son?" So we enter this portion of scripture, and right here in verse 37, we have purpose. I have made him. That is the same word of purpose as it was in Daniel, purposed in his heart. Made him. That is purposed. And you think about, praise God, the grace, brothers and sisters, this story we know right here, that the older will serve the younger, that it will be that one that was weak, despised. He will be the one that is reigning. And I love that he said, "I have made him." Think of what the Word of God says about us. We are his workmanship. Amen. Praise God. We are made. We are molded after all his perfect and complete will by his grace. That is what he does for us. And we know that it is our precious Lord and Savior that does it all. Now, even though it does appear that he received this blessing and this birthright and this inheritance, deceitfully, it wasn't that way to God. It wasn't. Not at all. This was the choice. Jacob, as the Word of God says, have I loved, and Esau have I hated. We understand this in the Word of God, that Jacob represents the new creation, represents that new life. And Esau, what God hates, is that old man, the flesh. And this is what that was not going to happen. It was Jacob was the choice of grace. It didn't matter that Esau was Isaac's favorite. I think that is so fitting for so many lives I speak to. Oftentimes, it's sad to hear of children that had parents that weren't just not engaged with them. They were actually very discouraging. They actually put them down. They actually might have preferred something else, someone else, to their own child. Well, let this be a joy to you here. It doesn't matter if you were Isaac's favorite or not. It only matters what's God and his favorite. And always know that. And that's what God chooses is what's going to go down. And we need to settle this and settle into the grace of God and thank the Lord tonight. He's chosen you. Amen? Yes, he has. He's called you and he's chosen you. And I thank the Lord for these things. And we just say a big hallelujah and thank you, Jesus. Now, we see on the surface here many things. We see a type of Christ here so beautifully in this 37th verse. We know that there's that encouragement there. We also see the two nations that we see in Jacob and Esau that would always be at enmity with one another. But looking deeper into the layers, we see that there is a blessing to us and a blessing that is for us, brothers and sisters. As the Word so sweetly tells us in the Lord, the Lord tells us in the Word, is that he will have mercy upon whom he will have mercy. And let's go ahead and turn on over to Romans chapter 9, and let's begin to read this beautiful message and story of grace, which we are the absolute subject of it all. Now, in Romans chapter 9, reading from verse 15, it says, "For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy." And you just thank the Lord for that. How sweet that is. Brothers and sisters, let us always remember this. The election of God, God's choice, is grace. Turn on over to Romans chapter 11. In Romans chapter 11, let's think of that. The election of God is grace. Reading from verse 5, it says, "Even so then, at this present time," right now, "also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works, otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace, otherwise works is no more work." Praise God. And I'm thankful to be of that grace and thankful, praise God, to be of that precious choice. And that's us, brothers and sisters. Turn now on over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's continue on in this precious love story to us about this grace and this glorying in the new man of Christ in us. Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, reading from verse 26, it says, "For see ye are your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen." Look at how many times he uses the word chosen, chosen, chosen. Praise God. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Isn't that just beautiful, brothers and sisters? "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord." So we thank God that in this flesh, brothers and sisters, there is no glorying in this flesh. There is nothing of us to glory about. Praise his name. But all the glory, hallelujah, is this precious mercy that he has bestowed, that we are clothed with the very riches of his glory. Thank you, Lord. I love that. I thank God. I glory in the new creation. I glory in that man. And I glory in that man, praise God, I hope to be in that new creation, grown to the fullness, the measure, and the stature of him. Now, going back to Romans 9 again. Let's continue with that thought of this mercy and this election of grace. So we know this is of God's choosing. And it's always in Christ. Praise God. So going back to Romans chapter 9, let's read from verse 18. We were just here, but now it's stating it again. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he hardeneth. So he really is bringing this to us and reinforcing and making sure we understand this. We have never earned a thing. We will never earn a thing in our own flesh. It's always his precious, wondrous mercy. And that's the praise, praise God. And that's all the glory to him, is that we are these beautiful vessels of mercy. And going back to where we got even into this study, we were in that tabernacle, amen? And the heights of it was finally, as that oneness was made of the crowning, the very crowning on the Ark of the Covenant, which represented, praise God, the very crowning of the bride that she is to Jesus. We see those cherubim that crown that. And we see that their gaze was only back at the mercy seat. It never veered anywhere. They didn't look at one another. They didn't look up. They didn't look anywhere else but the blood on the mercy seat. And their gaze never left the mercy. And thanks be to God here, the Lord expresses this to us very clearly, that it is his doing, it is his choosing, and his election is of grace. And we thank God for this. This is so divine. And I'll tell you what, when you don't think you can, mercy can. Isn't that something? When you know, and really, when you know you're a failure, but mercy makes me more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Praise God. That's the mercy of the Lord. So we rejoice that there is no glorying in this flesh. And we thank God that he states this about his mercy. Now, go on over to verses 23 through 25. Let's read on with this. That he might make known the riches of his glory. So not just his glory, but the very riches of his glory, the magnificence of his glory, okay? This is the height of his glory, the very height of everything about his glory. The whole purpose is to make known the riches of his glory, what? On the vessels of mercy, which he did what? Which he had afore prepared unto glory. So see, that's you. You weren't just prepared for anything. You are prepared for glory. That's exactly. But that's why he gave you the life of his son. He gave you the all-glorious life, didn't he? Praise God. So see, you were prepared for it. You were made for it. And by the grace of God, that glory came to live in you. That's why Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the fullness of the riches of this glory comes from understanding who we are in Christ. The magnificence of the riches of glory on his vessels of mercy. Understanding this election of grace and growing into this divine grace that he has given, which is all grace, amen, always, for all things, for all sufficiency, to superabound to every good work. We just glory in his grace. We glory in his mercy. Thanks be to God. Always giving us the exact extreme opposite of what we deserve. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And you thank him in all these things. And that's the encouraging yourself in the Lord. That just goes right into Sunday, which I believe God will just pour forth as we trust him. But see, if as you read that, it says, and that he might make known, back to verse 23, the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us, whom he hath called, and I love that. That means to call by name. That means to give a title. See, he didn't just call you, he called you to give a name. And praise be to God, to give you a title. What is that? The wife of the Lamb. That's the name, that's the calling, hallelujah. Even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but of the Gentiles. And then finally, I just thank him in such richness here. And he says also in Osi, I will call them my people, which were not my people. We understand that. Amen. We understand that when he came into his own and his own received him not, then he turned to the Gentiles. That was a people that was not his people, but he turned to them. But then it goes on. It didn't just say it there. And I will call her beloved, which was not beloved. Oh my, you see that there's even more, praise God. And this is what we're after here, is this much the more. So we see that we are the Esthers, brothers and sisters, that we have been brought in and given everything. Everything. We're just like the Ruths, hallelujah, that threw all the ashes, all for the one purpose, to marry the Redeemer. Praise God. That's the grace, that's the mercy that is for you. Now, we got to turn there, Romans 8, going over there. It's actually just back across the page. And in verse, 29, I think that is, isn't it, right? Yes. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. That sounds like a whole lot of grace and mercy to me. What do you say? Amen? So, we see this, and we thank God for this. And now we do see why he made this for him, and we see why he purposed us for him. And we read that, and we read it last week again in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. These all just go together just so perfectly. 1 Timothy 1, 9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, and not according to our works, amen? Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Thank God for that. In Ephesians 1:4, it tells us sweetly, according as he hath chosen us. See, there's that chosen again. Do you see how dear you are to God? How valuable you are to God? He uses these words specifically to get your attention. It wasn't just let's see, we'll cast lots here. He chose you. And he chose you in his Son. And he chose you in this grace. And he foreknew you in that grace. Yes, he did. And then in that precious grace of his Son, in that foreknowledge, he predestinated you to all of this. And it says so wonderfully, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Right back there to that beautiful purpose of what he's after, the goodly pearl. He's after that goodly pearl. He's after the true worshiper that worships him in spirit and truth. And praise the Lord, brothers and sisters, here we are. Here we are. He has brought us into this to worship him and to thank him and to call out to him that he has given this freely to us, and we thank him because we're it. We're it. Praise the Lord. It's just like Esther. You know, you again, by faith, get this, that the reason that the Lord gives you these stories, this truth, this wonderful encouragement all throughout the Word of God is that this is what he's brought us. This is how he's brought us into this message of the proposal to marry Jesus Christ. There was nothing of you. It was such a divine path. Before the foundation of the world, he saw you in love and he took you this way. You're chosen. Nothing was, it could not be broken because of the foreknowledge and predestination. It can't be. Thanks be to God. Trust him in this grace. Believe him for this grace. It's just like Esther, all of that way through, but then just thinking, I'm it. Amen. And she realized that, praise God, after she truly heard the words of the king tell her, what's mine is yours. And it's just like the same with Ruth. She knew she was it. Boaz favored her above all the other women, chose her, sought her out, saw her in that field. And you know that's your life. He saw you. And this isn't to shine you. This isn't to make you feel special. Grace is special. Mercy is amazing. And then that's what he saw upon you. And it is. It's incredible. Now people will ask me, they'll say, well, why, brother, then some that have heard this for years or whatever, maybe they're not hearing this any longer. Maybe they're not, and I'm not saying that you have to be in Living Waters. Don't get me wrong. But I will tell you, this is a very rare church that preaches this message. And you know it, and I'm not saying anything but the truth. All right? It's the truth. All right? People can talk around it, about it. You can have great times. You can feel a lot of stuff. But this strong meat gospel is extremely rare. All right? And I thank God by his grace we have it. But they're not here anymore. They don't fellowship in this truth. So why did that happen? Well, we could talk about a lot of things, but let's just go to the Word of God and let the Word of God speak. Just going over to Luke chapter 8. This is a Bible study. Praise God. Now, Luke chapter 8. This is the passage about the seed. And I want you to think about this seed that is put out. It's all the same seed. See, God's not... He's not a respecter of person. He gives the word of God. The difference is it received? Amen. And how it's received. And then is it taken in? And then is it embraced that it can be fruitful? Praise God. So we understand this. I think most know this. So let's just go on over to verse 13 of chapter 8. And this is kind of where it's wrapping up there. It says, the seed that were on the rock are they which they hear, receive the word with joy, and those have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation they fall away. Then it goes on over to 14. And they which fell upon the thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the ground, the good ground, are they which in a honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. So now what happens is there's four groups here. All right. And I'll just give you a little summary of it. I don't want to get into it too much. But the first group, that seed goes out, and it says that earlier on it's devoured. The seed is devoured. That's a group that is, if you will, is devilish. They didn't want to have anything to do with the Word of God. They didn't receive it at all, just threw it away. Then the next group, it says, that seed went out and it withered, all right? And what that means is that these are ones that profess, but but they don't have any faith. And you'll read about that withered. It never penetrated. They never took the truth in. So they're just as ungodly as the first group. They're ones that never took the word of God in. The third group is the group, and this is where I'm going with this, is a group where it says that the seed sprung up, but the cares and the riches of life choked it out, and no fruit came out. None. All right? So we can equate that to basically the majority, I have to say, of God's precious people, which is very sad. That's the wood, hay, and stubble. You understand that, amen? And remember, the Word of God says there's very little gold, silver, and precious stone, but the wood, hay, and stubble is going to burn. But God still is faithful. There's still, even though that life was a waste, even though that life turned away from what could have been, God is still faithful to save that life, all right? Even though all of that stuff that they went after, whatever that care was or anything of that nature, God was still faithful to save them. But here you are in this final group. It says good ground. Aren't you thankful God gave you, a good ground? You're just thankful. You have a humble heart. You're thankful for this grace and mercy. And then this love that saturates your life. And then all of that potential, that one that is pliable, praise be to God, received it all. So, with all of that said, let's go back to our text tonight. Now, think about what purpose was appointed for Jacob. All right, let's go on back to chapter 37. Or 27, excuse me. Chapter 27, you think about the purpose that was appointed for Jacob's life. You know Jacob's life. What a life. What an encouragement. I mean, to have the sons that would be the 12 tribes. To watch all of those things unfold in your life. To watch that Joseph, who you scolded, told him he should have kept it to himself, but God was faithful. And we all went to Egypt. We're bowing down before that boy. Amen? You talk about a purposed and appointed life. That sweet little, there we got a little ladybug. That Jacob had and how wonderful. But for us, as the Word of God says, we have a better thing. A better thing. But I want you to think about this. Isaac speaking to Esau, what God has made Jacob to Esau. It said there in verse 37, and Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy Lord. That was a shocker. Praise God. Aren't you thankful that the Lord tells you, being born of God, you are Lord of all. Yes. Think of what God intends for you. If you'll take everything that he has, you'll be in that company of Philadelphia where it says, I will make them come and bow down before thee and worship thee. Come on, listen to this. Even his brethren will be thy servants. That's the next thing it says. Even his brethren will be thy servants. Now, I don't want you to have a hard time with this because Joseph didn't, did he? Joseph didn't have a hard time with that, did he? God gave him a dream. God gave him a vision. And he told his brethren, this is what's going to be. I've told my brethren, this is what's going to be. You know what I've told my brethren? I said, there's these companies. And by the grace of God, I want to be that company that is ruling and reigning with my Lord, standing and glorified together with him in the midst of the throne. And by the grace of God, we can receive that faith and love, and we can be of that company. Or you can reject it, and you can be standing. And I remember that one guy, oh, you mean I'm going to be standing before you and waving a palm? I said, by the grace of God, I guess you will. Because by the grace of God, I believe him to finish me with that fullness. I'm confident in his grace. not in my works. Hallelujah. But how could I not believe the power of the Lord and this wonderful working, praise God, of His grace and His mercy when He tells me He's chosen me, He's chosen me, He's chosen me. Praise God. I have foreknown you in my Son in ages past, before the foundation of the world. I've seen you in love. I'm in love with you, Son. And I will perform the good work which I've begun in you. I would be absolutely stupid not to believe the Lord and believe that it is His work. Amen. I look at all of the examples, all of the forefathers of the faith, all right? And I see one pattern through it all, one pattern all the way through it all. It was all by grace through faith. Always by grace through faith. It was always by grace through faith. And the ones that overcame believed. That's all they did. They didn't work for it. They weren't, a lot of them weren't really, I mean, they weren't great people. Let's be honest. I mean, we're reading about a guy today, Jacob. You better not be on the other side of a deal with this fella. He was taking no prisoners when he was negotiating. But he was God's choice. And I'm sure Jacob even irritated his own dad. He's not really a man. I don't even know what he is. He's chasing butterflies out there with his mother. Get over here, son, you know. But that's who God chose. That's who God chose. And Isaac had a hard time with it. Rebecca sure didn't. She know who God chose. Grace always does. Grace always does. So, I want you to think about how he didn't have a hard time. Joseph did not have a hard time believing that his brethren would bow down to him. All right? Now, if we don't see the innumerable multitude waving palms before us by faith, then I believe that you truly in heart choose to be part of that innumerable multitude. I do believe it. I believe that by grace we are deciding, as the Word of God says, right now. And we're found in one of these seven churches. And I don't want to be found in the church of Ephesus. I don't want to be that one that left his first love. I don't want to divorce from that. I want to believe my wonderful bridegroom that he will perform this good work which he's begun in me. I want to be looking out from the throne. I really do. I want to. And by the grace of God, I know that's the place he has for us. Amen? This is why we enjoy and embrace and love this gospel. It's the only gospel. And I want you to think about this. And I thought this was very sweet. The Holy Ghost encouraged my heart. Joseph could do far more for his brethren. Joseph could do far more for his brethren when he was reigning over them than when he was just one of them. You can do far more for your brethren running after the mark for the prize, for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, than letting someone take your crown and just going back after milk. You've heard them. You take this place of reigning, you'll be able to feed your brethren. And yes, you will. You'll be able to encourage them. You'll be a salve to them. They may hate you for it in the beginning. They may have a lot of things. But I'll tell you what, giving me chills all over my body right now. God's going to make it known. You think about them brethren when they came in. When they came in to see Joseph, they were crying. They were fearful. Tell you what, when the innumerable multitude comes into heaven, what's the first thing that happens to them? There is a tear wiped from their eyes. And who are the ones that, by the grace of God, are feeding God's people and bringing all of that care and from the altar to them and things? It's the bride. It's all here. It's all here. I thank God I want to see it. I tell him all the time, Lord, just show me. Show me more. We're a hungry people. Thank God. Let us feast. Thank you, Lord. Now, wrap this up. And I just say, Lord, it's so good. Finally tonight, what does he say there in the last of 37? He said, and I have fed him with corn and wine. I love that. I love how he says that. I have given to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him. Well, I'll tell you what, that's how the Lord sustains us, till he exalts us together with him. And yes, he does. Corn, get this, it comes from the root word, which means increase. So he sustains us with increase. All right? And then the wine means to inherit, to take possession and inherit. I believe that's how God sustains us with this gospel, does he not? Are we not taking possession and inheriting? Are we not holding fast which thou hast, that crown that no man take it? Amen? I believe that's the greatest inheritance we could ever have. Praise God. And you think of that increase, brothers and sisters, growing and changing from glory to glory into his very image. And that's how we occupy right now as a readied wife. I love that. The corn or the increase, where does that come from? Feeding. Feasting. Praise the Lord. That's that feasting. And then you think about that inheritance. That's going to be someday set in plain view upon that throne. And brothers and sisters, I'll tell you what. I believe by the grace of God, it's getting easier and easier to believe. It is mine, mine, mine. All is mine. And the reason is, I'm mercy's choice. Amen? That's how you got here. That's it. It was that wonderful path of grace and his mercy. And I just say thank you, Lord. You are these full overcomers of the Old Testament, every single one of them. That's your life as a full overcomer of this wondrous church age that we're in. And, you know, at the time that they were living their own life, they couldn't see it. It does not yet appear what we shall be. They had no idea. Abraham, God called him out. He didn't even know where he was going. God told him all these promises about what was going to happen in his life and about how he would have this son through Sarah. All of that time, all of those 100 years, all of that, the murmuring, the unbelief. I'm not talking of him, of all the people around him. And he's just a man. You know, he doubted at times the word of God, talked about different things. But he still believed God, even as those doubts may have come. Even as he was challenged by his wife's laughter, all of these different things, he still believed God. God, I don't know how you're going to do it, but you're going to do it. You're going to do it. That promise is coming. And there in a dead womb and a man that is over 100 years old, here comes that baby Grace. There was the choice. Here we are. And we're about ready to go. Praise the Lord. Isn't that awesome? Praise God that he waited for us. He longed for us to show us grace, to magnify himself. That's your life. That was every one of these lives. It's never changed. Never changed. It's always grace and mercy. That's why we should always be happy in the Lord. That's why we should always thank him. That's why we should so love one another. I'm a little bit more ready to go tonight, if he will. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed. Come on.